This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Almost time for us to wrap up for the day, but we do have some responses to our question. The question is, would you repair a defective phone or tablet? Why or why not? Or would you just buy a new one? That's a question that we asked, all about the right to repair. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. And if you want Twitter or Instagram, that's at BFM Radio. Let's do Instagram first. Chris?
The Instagram poll, interestingly, has shifted the other way now. So now there's 51% saying that they would buy a new device and 49% saying that they would repair their device. Vincent Tan says, depending on the cost of repair, which is fair enough. Gatul Baged Kladig, so sorry, says, decent phones nowadays have become so cheap, repairs are not worth it for low to mid-range phones, which is also fair enough. Mm-hmm. And Dongtree One says, repair only if the cost is not more than 50% of the product's original price.
There you go.
Nice. Mayan over on Twitter says, depends on availability of spare parts, repair costs, and how old the model is. Some models are already very slow, although still functioning. Apps won't renew. And in that case, maybe worth getting a new model.
Mm. A couple of mentions here on WhatsApp very quickly. Walter has said, I replaced a SIM card reader on my Nokia phone many years ago by watching a YouTube video only. The SIM card reader cost less than 10 ringgit. Ooh. The satisfaction after that is priceless. Completely agree, Walter.
Nice.
Murali has said, I just got my iPad repaired. It's about 6 years old. The screen was cracked. It cost me less than 200 ringgit and it works fine. A rather old device as new upgrades is out almost every year. Very costly to own new ones. Very, very true. Mm. Keep the messages coming in. We've got plenty of time left, about 10 minutes, and see if we can shift those poll numbers. 61%, 61.5 depends on the overall price. Right, final story of the day, how the pandemic has changed video content and consumption. So consumer spending patterns have been turned upside down, as we know, by the pandemic. From the demand for jigsaw puzzles climbing 370%. Did you know that?
No.
Did you buy a jigsaw puzzle? You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did you buy a jigsaw puzzle as
okay,
well, Chris?
I
don't
no.
give me okay, yes or no.
I did not because you can only do a jigsaw puzzle once.
Oh.
And I don't like that.
Mm. Well, okay. We'll leave that open. We'll discuss that off air.
Yeah.
Anyway, to sales of yeast growing more than 400%, you've bought yeast as well, haven't you?
No.
Chris?
Nope.
Okay. Only for baking, yeah.
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 But it's not just the dollar spending that's changed. It's also another type of currency. Our attention, and in particular the pandemic, has fundamentally changed how we consume video, right? Mm. So the rise in video consumption, video popularity was on the rise before the pandemic. Cisco have already estimated that by next year, a staggering 82% of all created content will be video.
Makes sense.
It's not just the well-established streaming players and social media platforms that are seeing increased traction. Relative newcomers at TikTok and Instagram Reels are feeding consumers a rampant desire for video. TikTok's tidal wave growth saw it nearly triple in size since 2018, now amassing about 100 million monthly active users in the US. And now that Donald Trump does not have his hands on it, that number will still grow, I'm sure. Relatable content is on the rise, so TikTok's rise to global prominence has been driven by several trends. One potent driver has been increased demand for relatable content. And as the pandemic unfolded, people felt more comfortable being their full, authentic selves on social media platforms like TikTok. We're not talking about the Kardashians, though, are we? According to research by Global Web Index, 42% of social media users agree there's been less pressure to portray an unrealistic image of their life on social media. That's partly because you can't go out and portray an unrealistic life, and you're stuck in your homes, and you know you can't show us your pretend yacht or your pretend jet or whatever it is.
There's no fancy backdrops.
There's no fancy backdrops. In contrast, the previous years when mega influencers and celebrities were in the spotlight, micro influencers have been stealing the show of late. More than three quarters of marketers say they want to work with micro influencers, those who have between 5,000 and 100,000 influencers followers. We've spoken to people about this as well before. Mm-hmm. As compared to only 30% wanting to work for mega influencers, those who have 500,000 to 5 million followers, and 22% wanting to work with celebrities, that's 5 million followers or more. Now, the cognitive benefits of video. Binge watching Netflix is commonly associated with laziness and feelings of regret.
Yeah.
A moment of silence here.
Checks out.
But Especially during these times, video has offered several positive benefits. Research by Google has found that in times of uncertainty, digital video can be a wellspring of positivity. 79% of US video consumers surveyed by Google found that streaming platforms make them happy and bring them joy and relief. Yep. So whilst video content might be king, not all types of content has gained traction throughout the pandemic. And as Google further explains, the type of content people are consuming during the pandemic is reflective of how people are thinking about their lives right now. So nearly two-thirds of people say they are reevaluating their lives and their goals right now. And as a result, they're looking to video to learn new skills, perhaps how to repair some of your devices, ladies and gentlemen. More than half of Google's respondents reported that they are using digital videos to learn new skills. So, to be sure, not all media consumption during the pandemic has been positive. Far from it. Doom scrolling, which is something we're familiar with, reading a long stream of negative and depressing headlines on social media, has become part of our vocabulary since the beginning of the pandemic. Fortunately, it appears that some video content is helping to offset some of the negative impacts of doom scrolling and other harmful social media activities by helping people find positivity or even paradoxically helping them digitally detox. Alphabet CEO has said that YouTube views for guided meditation videos increased by 40% since the pandemic began. If you don't want to watch guided meditation videos, I recommend cat videos. They also help. But the future of video. The pandemic has shown us that the future of video is more than about the streaming wars. It's a battle for how to create content that empowers viewers to engage with relatable content, level up your skills, find happiness, and quell stress. In all likelihood, the trends we're seeing now will forever change the future of video. Does this resonate with you, Arv?
Yeah, like 100%. Like, I agree with everything they said about TikTok and video content. But also, I'm surprised that no one ever brings up the fact that there's so much video content because people have a default video device in their pockets. Yeah. It comes bundled with your phone, right? Steven Soderbergh shot like a whole film on an iPhone, Unsane. Anyone can do that. But also, yeah, it's like during the pandemic, especially, I cannot tell you how much TikTok has helped to just de-stress because it has very little to do with COVID. And you see people just doing like short videos.
Stupid dances,
bite-sized content. It's amazing. It's an amazing platform.
It boils down to connection. We want to see people.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
since we can't see people in real life, video is the way to do it.
So what they're talking about here, the idea of like, you know, the influencers have gone kind of by the big influencers have gone. Does that resonate with you as well?
Absolutely. Right. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. I think that was the big change for me is like I was really happy to see people literally look like they just rolled out of bed or just come home from work. You know, I'm like, oh, look, real people finally coming onto TikTok and not trying to get me to buy their gym product or their whatever it is. You know, it's like these are real people.
I mean, it's less information than Facebook and it's more information than Instagram video-wise. So I think that's why it's like the perfect platform, especially during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Right, ladies and gents, we've got to wrap up. Thanks very much for getting in touch and letting us know. Would you repair a defective phone or tablet or get a new one? The numbers, final numbers to wrap up with are
60.4% for depends on repair price, 20.8% for buy new and 17.7% for repair.
Chris?
So on Instagram, it's still at repair 49% and buy new 51%.
All right. If we didn't get to your message, I'm sorry, folks. We've run out of time. But if you want to stick around, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it is a Breakfast Grill replay. It's with Jeff King, the CEO of the food purveyor. How has COVID-19 changed the way we shop and get our groceries? As SOPs continue to be the norm and deliveries become more mainstream, how will traditional retail supermarkets maintain their relevance? The Breakfast Grill spoke to Jeff King of the food purveyor, the company behind supermarkets like Village Grocer, Ben's Independent Grocer and Passaraya OTK to discuss the outlook for this business and how the pandemic has affected everything. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.